But it's good to be back. It's good to be here. And one of the things that whenever I'm out and about, I'm always contemplating is, you know, I'm seeing the churches and I'm seeing other Christians in their communities doing what God has called them to do. And then here, when we're here, God has called us to something. And as a fellowship, he's called us. So what is it that God has called us to? What are we able... I need to rephrase this, because what I'm trying to get at is, are we equipping each other, helping each other, encouraging each other to be fulfilling God's calling in our lives? Like, when we come together, do we leave here saying, I feel like I can go and do what God has called me to do, this is encouraging for me? Or is, and this sounds horrible, but is church standing in the way of you being able to obey Christ in your life? Because we don't want to stand in each other's way. We want to encourage one another and bless one another and to equip and in any way we can help each other to actually be about the Father's business. So this is a question that I ask. It's like, how are we able to celebrate God's work in each other's lives? Or do we sometimes, and I don't know that we ever do this, but is there ever a time when you see someone else ministering and you're like, I wish I could be doing that. Why are they doing it? I should be allowed to do that. Or any of that kind of heart. Or maybe we're seeing someone else ministering. We're like, well, I'm sure glad I don't have to do any of that. You know, so there's various ways that we can look at each other and the work that God has called us to and not be quite right in how we view each other. But we want to be able to celebrate each other, to encourage one another, and to basically always be that channel of the Holy Spirit saying, Go with the Lord, be blessed. And at times we say to each other, stay, because you're called here, or you're, you know, and so we confirm to each other because of the Holy Spirit, by the power of the Holy Spirit, what God is doing in our lives. Today we're talking about sowing and reaping. And this is actually sowing and reaping part two. So I'm calling it sowing and reaping. The word of God is the seed, is the message that we're looking at. When we look at sowing and reaping, well, let's go ahead and read the part there in Galatians. In Galatians chapter 6. So in Galatians 6, we have, starting in verse 6, it says, let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. See with what large letters I have written to you with my own hand. Verse 12, as many as desire to make a good showing in the flesh, these would compel you to be circumcised, only that they may not suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For not even those who are circumcised keep the law, but they desire to have you circumcised that they may boast in your flesh. But God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but a new creation. And so the phrase that I saw here is when it says, sows, he who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. A lot of times when we think about sowing and reaping, we're actually talking about it more in the realm of corruption, the flesh. And so we're like, well, you reap what you sow. And we mean it kind of like, you deserve what you're getting because you reap what you sow. And I think what I wanted to look at today, and as we look at these verses, I want to see more of the other side of it, where it's the invitation of, hey, you reap what you sow. What are you planting? Because you can plant something and you can reap something pretty awesome. It's like when you have a garden and you're planting things and then your friends have gardens, you're like, hey, have you tried planting these seeds? It's pretty exciting. I think of the Sight and Sound theater production of In the Beginning, and in there they have Adam having these really cool, I don't actually know if he says it more than once, but I think he does. But he's like, well, I think I'm going to go plant some more seeds. And then he's off and out there planting seeds because it's exciting that you can put a seed in the ground and something grows. And so it's like this is part of his job is to be out there. And God has given us this miracle that we can plant something and it grows and it bears more of the same. And it really is a miracle. And so we have both the physical miracle of sowing and the spiritual miracle of sowing that we can actually sow and results come back. But in this instance, when he's talking about sowing either to the flesh or to the spirit, because if you sow into a flesh field, you don't expect a spiritual harvest. And this is something where I think we've discussed this in several different ways, because right now in the church in America, we talk a lot about self-care. And if you mean by self-care that I need to make sure that I'm sowing spiritual seed into my life so that I can be growing and be healthy, then that's a good thing. You need to protect. You need to make sure that the weeds aren't coming in. But if you mean, I just need some time to go sow some stuff to the flesh because I'm tired of all this other stuff, then you're not going to reap spiritual benefits from that moment. And this is sometimes where we get confused because we're like, well, you know what? I've just had it. And partly it might be because we have we don't understand the biblical injunction that we need to have Sabbath times and that we need to rest. We need space in our lives to be able to rest in the Lord, to be able to have some time away. That's a good scriptural, spiritual exercise to have the time away, but it's not to be time away just to indulge in my flesh. It's time away to be able to hear from the Father, to be able to sow those seeds. And so it's a fine line that we walk between understanding the rest, and it really has to do with the direction of our heart. Which direction is our heart looking? Is it looking to the Father? Is it looking to the flesh? And so we don't want to be sowing into flesh fields and then being frustrated because it's not a spiritual harvest. We want to be able to sow into the spiritual fields and experience a spiritual harvest. What's happening here in Galatians that he's writing about, and this is almost a theme of Galatians. He's like, look, and earlier in chapter 4, he talks about the Mount Sinai and the Jerusalem, which is from above, the bondwoman, the free woman. It's the theme of Galatians that we have going on. And so here he brings it up as the good showing of the flesh, these people that want you to, let me see which verse it is. As many as desire to make a good showing the flesh, verse 12, these would compel you to be circumcised. They're more concerned about something that can be measured and seen, so that we need you to do this. But he says they're not really doing everything. They're not actually keeping the whole law. But they want you to do this thing. And he says, God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. And so his whole focus is, are we talking about circumcision? Are we talking about something? And what he is doing that is kind of shocking to them, because to them, if they're coming from the Jewish background, they're saying, well, look, we've been given these things. This is part of our heritage. This is part of our faith. These are the things of the faith. And he's saying, yes, but they're also things of the flesh. If you really want to sow into the spirit, you go here to the cross of Jesus Christ, and that's where you start, and that's where you camp, and this is where your life is flowing from. And they're saying, but what about these other things? Is that's all flesh? And they're like, but it's part of our religion. And so it's very possible that you and I, growing up within the church, that we can have certain pieces that we have co-opted, that we're actually, at some point, they're good things, but they've been given to us. We have grabbed onto them, and we're like, we want to make sure everyone's doing this. And if they're all doing this, then we're doing good. And Paul is saying, but what about the cross of Jesus? That is still flesh. And so sometimes the way we sow, you know, we think, well, I'm going to go do something at the church. Well, we can bring our flesh seeds and sow them at the church and still grow something that is not spiritual. So what we're wanting to do is, where we're going today, is we want to actually receive the seed that God the Father wants to give us. He gives good seed. And that's what we'll see later in several verses, not just this week, but also next week, some of the verses where it talks about God providing seed to the sower. And so we want to be able to receive the good seed from the Father and to plant that in a good field. So when we read this, Paul is talking about sowing and reaping. He's talking about several other things. All right, so let's just go back over our laws of the harvest really quickly, the ones we had here. We have the laws of the harvest. You reap what you sow. You reap after you sow. You reap more than you sow. You reap where you sow. And so if you, all of these are not so much like laws that can be just disobeyed and say, well, I'm not gonna, you know, like a speed limit law, you can say, well, it says it's 75, but I'm gonna go 83, you know. It's not quite like that. You can't say, well, it says you reap where you sow, but I'm gonna plant here and, I mean, and reap over here. No, where you reap, you somebody has to plant something if you're gonna harvest anything. You can't co-opt these laws. They're just more of an observational law than they are one of those laws where they're like, hey, don't break this law. It's not quite like that. It's just an observation. This is what happens. When you plant corn, you reap corn. You plant an avocado, it's a mystery, but maybe you might get avocados. But you, so there is a real sowing and reaping that happens in our lives all the time. And in my life, it has been unfortunate, but that I've heard it two ways, used the two ways I've heard sowing and reaping talked about the most. One is, well, you sowed your wild oats and now, you know, you're harvesting it. And so just, you made the bed, lie in it, you reap what you sow. And we say it in kind of almost a negative way, where it's like, well, that's what you get. And the other way is that I've heard the most is people saying, if you will sow into my ministry, God will bless you financially. And so I've heard that message a lot. And the reality is, when we're looking at sowing and reaping, there's a lot of fields. There's a lot of different seed. And so there is a financial field, and there is something you can do financially. Paul talks about it. We'll look at that at another Sunday when he talks about the financial side of sowing and reaping. But today I want to just look at, because Jesus also spoke about sowing and reaping quite a bit. Actually, the Bible is just full of this. And so I wanted to look at one of the instances in which Jesus speaks about sowing and reaping. And so if you look over here at Luke chapter 8, and we'll, if you'll turn there, we can read it together. Several things stood out to me as I'm looking at this, and I'm thinking in the context context of, okay, what he's about to share. Luke 8, verse 1, he says, now it came to pass afterward that he, Jesus, went through every city and every village, preaching and bringing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him. So Jesus is preaching and bringing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him. And so what we're about to hear is part of the message of Christ that is included in the umbrella of the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. This is part of the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. If you keep reading in verse 2, it says, certain women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom had come seven demons, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others who provided for him from their substance. This is an interesting thing in the context of, if we're talking about financially, here are these ladies, and they are providing for Jesus in his ministries. And we see this in several places in the Gospels. And so we'll see this concept of sowing into someone's ministry next week when we look at what some more of what Paul writes about. And so it's not a foreign concept to Scripture. It actually is in Scripture that when you give financially into a ministry, that you are sowing and that there is something to be reaped. There is something of benefit there. And so we don't want to just say, well, I will never give to anyone else because I'm just going to go plant my own seed, because there is something to be said for sharing. And so, but that will is we'll look at that more next Sunday. But it's happening here. So now in verse 4, when a great multitude had gathered and they had come to him from every city, he spoke by a parable. So this is this parable that he's speaking is part of the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. Verse 5, a sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trampled down, and the birds of the air devoured it. Some fell on rock, and soon it, as soon as it sprang up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among the thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. But others fell on good ground, sprang up and yielded a crop 100-fold. When he had said these things, he cried, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Then his disciples asked him, saying, "What does this parable mean?" And he said, "To you it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to the rest it is given in parables, that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand." Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are the ones who hear. Then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. But the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, who believe for a while, and in time of temptation fall away. Now the ones that fell among thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of life, and bring no fruit to maturity. But the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and a good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. And so this picture is given of the sowing and then what happens when we grow. And so there were several questions that came up as I'm reading it. So in this instance, he clearly says the seed is the word of God. So I've seen this then applied in different ways. When I worked with the mission in El Paso, it was called Bearing Precious Seed. And the idea was we were printing the Gospels, we were printing the Bibles, and then we would take those down into Mexico and other places, and we were planting the seeds of the Word of God into other people's lives. We were making it possible for people who had not read the Bible to be able to read it. And it was amazing because we would go in some of those places, and we would say, and we would hand out, maybe it was a John and Romans just in this, and you hand it out to them, and they would stop what they were doing, and they would sit down on the sidewalk or the curb or the steps or wherever, and they'd just start reading right there on the spot. And what I heard with my own ears was people would say, "I've never heard it like this before." And they're just reading the Word of God. And one of the things we'd have in the John and Romans, we would have on the front, there would be a little invitation or something that would say something along the line of, "If you want to understand how the Father loves you." I don't know exactly know what it said, but you turn here. And so it would go to this page, and then there would be marked, and then you'd read these verses. And then it would say, "Now go to," and it would take you to the next one. So you go all the way through John and Romans, and would just share the gospel bits out of there. So even if someone wasn't reading the whole thing, they could go through that, and they would read the gospel in the scripture. And so they had done a little bit of research, and they kept asking. They said, "Well, what happens a lot of times if they give someone an actual New Testament or a Bible, that thing will be read by 7 people before it wears out?" Because we'd print them on the almost like newsprint. Because if you were going to print out hundreds of Bibles, you couldn't always do it on that nice India paper. So we'd have it on this more like newsprint. Well, you'd come back, and they would have this rat's nest looking thing that they had gotten 5 years ago or whatever, and they had just read it and read it and read it, and different people had read it, and now it was worn out, and you'd bring them a new one. They, "Oh, thank you, I needed a new one." And so that was one way that we were planting the Word of God. We were actually having it in Scripture. We were taking Scriptures, giving it to people who didn't have it. And that was a huge blessing, because what always struck me was, well, how often in America would I hand someone something, written material, and they would stop what they were doing and go read it right there on the spot? Because most of the time here, they're like, "Well, okay, so there's a tract or there's something else in there. Well, I don't want that. I'm looking for the food, or I'm looking for the money, or, you know, something." And there may be in cities in America now people who are so starved and haven't ever seen the Word of God that it might be possible to have that experience in America now. But at the time, I hadn't. The only place I ran into it was there in Mexico. So this is one way where you can say, okay, that's planting the Word of God. But there's another way, when the sower goes out to sow, and we see ourselves as the ground, then the sower is sowing. And so I'm thinking about every time that you've heard Scripture read to you, every time you've read the Bible, every time you've, you know, turned on the radio and heard someone preaching or reading the Word of God. So we have heard the Word of God in many different scenarios. And one of the things, the promises that we have from God, is that His Word doesn't come back void, it actually does something. His word has a job to do. It goes out and it does it. And so when his word is being planted into our lives, that's good. But when I read this, I had a question, and it was this question: who prepares the soil? When you look at this ground, you're like, well, you know, unfortunately, the word of God came, and you know, I was just there by the wayside, and the devil came along and took all the word away, and so now I'm just stuck. You know, I can't. How do we, when we read this, what do we see? I've heard people preach messages on this where they said, well, one of the jobs of parents is to prepare the soil in their children so that the children are actually able to respond to the word of God. And that may be true. It's very possible that is, I mean, I see that as part of our responsibility. We're trying to get some of the thorns out of the way. We're trying to get some of the rocks out of the way. We're trying to keep our children from being by the wayside and actually being in the way so that they, when they hear the word of God, they can respond. So that's, I can see where that could be the case, that parents are preparing the soil in their children's hearts. But there comes a day when the child leaves your home and is out on their own, and then what about the thorns? You know, if they're so big and they're choking everything out, well, who's responsible? Like, is someone else? Do you really want someone else to come in and start removing? Look what it says. It says, they are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of life. So do you want me to come into your life and say, well, this is the pleasure of life, and this is your riches, and these are your cares. I'm going to remove all of these so you can hear from God. Like, do you want me to remove from you your pleasures, your riches, and those things? Do you want someone else to prepare that soil? I mean, I know that sometimes God has done this in our lives where he clears the soil out. But I think it is that the Holy Spirit is at work preparing our hearts, preparing us. And sometimes you go on a long journey in life and you're like, I don't know what that all was about. But somewhere along the line, God was plowing and he was removing some things and he was preparing you so that when you came to the other side and the seed was sown, that it could actually bear fruit. But there is another sense in which I think you and I are responsible. We are the soil. And so it's our responsibility to say, well, what kind of soil am I? And we can actually take a moment, and this is not one of those instances where you can say, okay, well, I'm going to work really hard and be the best soil, and therefore God is going to, you know, I will be saved better than everyone else, or I will be in some way. It's not that. There is just the reality that good seed needs good ground. And this is part of the parable, is part of the message. When he was bringing the glad tidings, he's sharing this, and he says, some falls by the wayside. This is part of the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. He says, and the devil comes and takes it away. He says, some are on the rock, and they're very shallow, and they have no root. And then they spring up. And so this, when he's sharing this is part of the glad tidings of the kingdom. And so the only way I can see this for being the glad tiding is if there is something that you and I can do in response to the fact that he's sharing this with us. Because what if I didn't know that I might be shallow and that I'm going to just spring up and then wither away when the heat comes? What if I didn't know that the cares of this world are the thorns and that it's a problem, that it might keep me? What if I didn't ever realize this? What if I spent my whole life filling my life all from dawn till dusk with all of these things, and I never realized that if I would just stop doing my phone or whatever it is you fill your day with, and if I just stopped and backed away and said, Lord, what are you doing? And I had a time of prayer. What if I didn't realize that? And so I would go through life limping along and being choked out, and I'd be like, you know, I keep hearing other people talk about God as if he's big and as if he's present and as if he's here, but all I've ever, you know, I just see the memes, and that's kind of all I see, and I just see, you know, people making these beautiful verse images, and that's awesome. I'm glad they're doing that. I'll like it as I go by, but I'm not actually experiencing it. But here, part of the good news of the kingdom is that I've just been told that there are different kinds of soil. And part of the good news of the kingdom goes on, if you look in, let me see, I think I have the verse here. In Hosea chapter 10, verse 12, it says, sow for yourselves righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he comes and rains righteousness on you. In Hosea, we find similar language in Jeremiah and several other of the Old Testament prophets. But there is a certain amount of calling going out saying, break up your fallow ground. There's something you can do. So what does this look like? This could be repentance. This could be coming away. And so if you think about thorns, well, if you have thorns in your garden, you need to get them out. And you don't want to just bring a weed whacker and just chop them off on the ground level and then be like, well, I'm glad I got rid of those, because there will come a time sooner or later, they'll spring back up. The roots are still down in there. You're needing to get the thorns out by the roots. You want them gone. And so in a real garden, you might be out there digging. You might be out there with a pickaxe. You're going for the source. You're pulling out certain things by the roots. You don't want to just trim them. You want them to be completely gone. And at the same time, you have a problem because you're like, well, I could just spray the whole thing with Roundup and kill them or something like that. But you're like, but there's actually good fruit here, so I don't want to kill the good plants. I want to only kill these things. And so you're limited in what you can do. So it requires digging. It requires some physical labor. It requires you saying, well, I'm going to get this out of here. Well, when you get it out, now there's room for the good seed to grow. And so for us, we can see this pretty clearly. Okay, if I have the cares of this world, if I have the riches, if I have the pleasures of life, if it's just too much, if I'm just so full with all of these things all the time that I just don't have time to allow the sower to sow his seed into my life, then I need to get rid of some of these things. And so in that way, there is some responsibility you have, that we have, to prepare the ground. And this is good news. This is a good tidings, is that, you know, and it's really good news when you stop and think that not only did the sower go and sow his seed, when it says the seed is the word of God, but you and I have been given not just a catalog of seed, but we've been given the seed itself. We've been given the word of God. And so you and I can say, well, I want to plant this seed. Well, part of planting means you have to have a little bit of time set aside for planting. So you need to have some time where you're reading this word of God and you're allowing it to bring forth fruit. Good seed needs good ground. And what we just saw with this verse, and I think one of the things that is you know, repentance. And it's repentance, sometimes repentance is dramatic. It's I'm going this way, and maybe I'm saying all kinds of words and profanity, and I'm hell-bent on doing the wrong thing, and then suddenly the Spirit of God stops me. I surrender before him. I repent. I turn around and I come back, and I'm leaving those things. Sometimes repentance is a quieter thing. Sometimes repentance, you haven't been spouting off profanity against the King of Heaven. You've just been doing some things and not realizing that these were things about you. These were things that you were wanting, and it didn't really fit in the garden of the King. But you were just doing these, and you were planting some things to the flesh, and now you're reaping some things to the flesh. And as you're going, you're like, you know what? I don't want to do that anymore. I'd just rather not harvest this fruit of the flesh anymore, this corruption that's coming. I would rather harvest the things of the Spirit. And so sometimes repentance is more of a, oh, I don't like that fruit. I'm going to turn from that. And it's not as dramatic. It's not, you know, light from heaven hitting you and you get knocked to the dirt. Sometimes it's a lot quieter. But it's necessary. It's necessary to walk up and to take stock and say, well, what's growing here in the soil that's here? What's growing? Am I happy with the fruit that I'm seeing? Am I seeing fruit? What's going on? Because the invitation through the Word of God is, come. Let's go and look at Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah 55 has a really good invitation to us, and it has to do with the Word of God. So first of all, if you'll look just at Isaiah 55, verse 10, it says, for as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So this is a reference to what we call the laws of the harvest. This is what we have observed. We see the rain comes down, the snow comes down. It doesn't go back up immediately, but it waters the earth. And then the earth brings forth and buds, and it provides seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So this is just observing the natural laws. But then he goes on, verse 11, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. So right here we have God making a promise about his word. And so in thinking about that, I would like to read all of chapter 55. So if you'll just listen, you can follow along in your Bible. But it says, he starts out in verse 1, he says, ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. So it starts with an invitation. Come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy, and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend money for what is not bread? And your wages for what does not satisfy. Listen carefully to me and eat what is good and let your soul delight itself in abundance. When I think of what Jesus said in Luke, where he says, what is it? It's the pleasures of this life. These are the things that sometimes we spend a lot of time and money on because we're like, surely this will fulfill me. And then we get there and we find out, why do I spend my money for what is not bread? It didn't satisfy. And your wages for what does not satisfy. Why did we do this? So it's an invitation to come and to eat what is good. Verse 3 says, incline your ear and come to me. Hear and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, the sure mercies of David. Indeed, I have given him as a witness to the people, a leader and commander for the people. Surely you shall call a nation you do not know, and nations who do not know you shall run to you because of the Lord your God and the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Verse 6, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord and he will have mercy on him. And to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Verse 8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please. And it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. For you shall go out with joy and be led out with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth into singing before you, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. This is a beautiful invitation we've been given. And at this point, it's appropriate to remind ourselves, you reap what you sow. Not, you reap what you sow, but you reap what you sow. What are you planting? Are you planting this? You can plant this in your life. You can plant the word of God in your life, and you can reap. Come sow the word, and you can reap the things of the Spirit. You can reap the things of God. The first Adam was in the garden, and because of his responsibilities that God gave him, we have been farmers ever since all around the world. Even you know, when we live in little, it's amazing. You go all around, and people that live in little apartments and stuff like us, we still plant things because it's fun. We like to see the green. We just love it. The human heart loves to see something growing. We love it. And so because of the first Adam, we keep planting gardens and we keep growing crops and we're following in his tracks. But because of the second Adam, we are able to sow into the kingdom. And so there are ways that we might sow this into the kingdom, into other people's lives. And those are good things. But our first invitation is to, for the sake of the kingdom, sow this, the word of God, into our life. to sow his word into our heart. And then as we're looking at the parable of the sower, and we look at the different kinds of seeds and the different kinds of ground, you realize, you know, there have been times when the word of God was sown into my life and it just sat on top there. It didn't get planted. It was just there. And the birds of the air came and they ate it and they carried it away. And I lost an opportunity to grow something beautiful that God wanted to grow in my life. So the next time I'm going to get a spiritual scarecrow to get rid of those birds so they don't steal my seed. I'm going to do what is necessary to make sure that the seed, when it comes, gets planted in deep and that the enemy can't steal it. I'm going to do what I can to make sure that the thorns aren't coming, because I don't want thorns. I want something else. I want to have the word growing and the seed growing. And so now we're saying, for the sake of the kingdom, there are certain things that I'm not going to allow in my life. For the sake of the kingdom, I'm going to be vigilant all the time, because I don't know when am I being planted into, when is the Lord sowing into me through his word? What does he want to grow? Well, I want to be ready. I want to have that. Because as he says here, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth, it shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please. And it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. When God sent us his word, he didn't just say, well, these are some nice poems that I collected and I'd like for you to, you know, maybe read them and drink your kombucha and enjoy it a little bit, you know. But he's actually saying there's a purpose in here. There's something in here. There's a reason, and it's going to do that. It's going to accomplish it. It's going to prosper in the thing for which I sent it. He has sent this for a reason. So I want to come and say, okay, Father, you have sent forth your word. I'm reading it. I want to be good soil. Plant it in me and grow what you want out of it. And you know, when I was 15, someone challenged me and said, Joseph, would you read the Bible for 5 minutes a day? And at the time, I was like, 5 minutes a day sounds very long. Well, I was told, if you can't read let's say you skip a day. Well, instead of just being like, oh, woe is me, just read twice as much the next day. And so there were some Sunday afternoons where I was reading for 35 minutes to fill my week, because 35 minutes gets you a whole week of 5 minutes a day in the Word of God. And 35 minutes is really not that long when you stop and think about it. But I've been so grateful for that 5 minutes a day. And what I would do sometimes I would be reading through the Bible and I'd be checking off the chapters as I went. Sometimes I would use a Bible plan. My fallback was... Well, for a while, my fallback was just Timothy. I would just go back and read Timothy over and over. But my real fallback was reading Proverbs and Psalms and Proverbs, because it was so handy, because there's the month has 30 to 31 days in it. And so you can just go and read the proverb for the day, whatever date it is, you just read that one. Whatever day it is, you read that psalm. And so you could read two chapters that more than filled my 5 minutes. And if you're a slow reader, you can read less than that. But if you're fast, you have to read more. But you could also, what I found out is like I could actually read all the Psalms, because there's five sets of 30, 150. And so I could go, if like today is the third, so I'd read Psalm number 3, then I'd read Psalm 33, then I'd read Psalm 63, and then 93, and what is next, 123. So I would read all the way through. And so in a month's time, I could read all of Psalms just by reading that. And it was so helpful, because I just knew somewhere in my day, these 5 minutes had to fit in. And so at one point I was like, well, I'll do it in the evening, but that was always so hard, because in the evening there'd be movies being watched and other things being happening, and so I wouldn't have the time. So I started getting up in the morning. And so I remember there was a season where I said, I'm gonna get up at 5 o'clock every morning. And so I did. I'd get up and I'd get my Bible and I'd get out of my room and I'd actually go out into we were in Texas at this season, so it was warmer, and I could be in this little workshop outside next to the garage. But then I realized that, I don't have to get up at 5 just to read 5 minutes. Like, I can actually get up a little later if I'm only reading 5 minutes. So I would, for the whole season there, I was actually reading more time because I had more time. So I was actually trying to plant more of the Word of God in my life. But that blessing of just saying, I'm going to read for 5 minutes. The first time, I mean, there were many times throughout when I would get busy and I would kind of forget. But the first time that I was really challenged on this was not when we moved to Texas. It was not when I was a young man. It was after I became a pastor. One of the first times was when we moved up here to Colorado. There was something that happened where I knew that on this day and on this day, I was going to be studying to prepare a sermon. And so the in-between days, I wouldn't always read. And so I just remember this there was this conversation I had with Pastor Philip in Texas. He's like, "Joseph, how are you doing?" And I said, "Well," and so I tried to share with him several frustrations, maybe some discouragements that I was facing. And so I'm like talking, you know. And he's just listening. Then he's like, "Well, are you reading the Bible every day?" And I'm like, "Actually, no, I'm not. I always read the Bible every day. What's going wrong?" And it was the first time, because I had said I was going to read the Bible 5 minutes a day. And so that has been now more than ever useful to me, is that because there are days when I'll be studying for a sermon or something, but I need to read this not because I'm trying to figure out what I'm going to sow out there, but because I want to sow this into my life and into my heart. And so with that, I would say, whether you are, doesn't matter what age you are, where you are in life, I think this is a good decision to make, to say, I want to plant the Word of God in my heart, and I'm going to make sure that it's being done. And so whether you say 5 minutes a day or 10 minutes a day, really, that's not the point. Maybe you'll say a chapter a day. The point is to every day come back to the source, to come back to the seed, which is the Word of God, and to allow Him to speak His Word into my life, and it will not return void. It will accomplish what God pleases. And so now my prayer can be, "Lord, do with me whatever you please. Accomplish your will. You have a purpose. You have something you're trying to do. And so plant this in me and let it bring forth the fruit that you want." And this is one of those areas where I'm telling you, the riches, and this is, you know, you might say, "Well, I really want to, you know, I need a harvest tomorrow, so I'm going to quick read 10 chapters today." Well, you might, the Holy Spirit is able to grow something between today and tomorrow, but the really good fruit doesn't just spring up the moment you beckon. It's not a candy machine where you go push the money in and pull out a gumball, but it's a situation where you, like a number two, you reap after you sow. Well, you reap in a different season that you sow a lot of times. And so there are some things that you'll be planting and sowing now. And you're like, "Well, I think this is important. So I'm planting it into my life. I think this is important." And you don't reap the full benefits until later. For instance, I think of the times I had memorized quite a bunch of scripture at different times that was purely for my own, for my own purity. I wanted to be morally clean and pure before God. And so there were certain scriptures. I memorized Romans 6. I memorized, I think, several Proverbs and several other scriptures that I would memorize. And the whole goal for me was, I want to stay morally pure. I want to stay pure until I'm married. Well, that was something that I didn't fully understand or reap the benefit of until I was married. And then now, as years go by and I look at my wife, and I'm just so grateful for all those years where I was clean and pure before God. I thought at the time that season, you know, when I'm planting, that what I was harvesting was purity. But I didn't realize that the purity itself was something that I was planting. It was a seed I was planting, and there was going to be a better harvest still coming. And this is true for many of the things that we do in the Christian walk. There is something to be said for the seed. There is something to be said for what we have right now. But when we subject it, as it says in the Bible, in hope for what will come, there will be a bigger harvest. We see one part of the harvest, but there's coming a time when there will be a better harvest. And so when we plant the Word of God in us, there is a benefit that happens that day. There's a benefit that happens the next day. And then there's something that grows that will bring forth fruit 10 years from now, 20 years from now. And there's some of this that when we stand in eternity before the great King and we look back and we say, "Wow, now I understand the fruit. Now I see it. I tasted a bit of it. I saw something that was happening, but I didn't fully get it." And so my challenge to us as we're thinking about you reap what you sow is, let's start in this, with this parable that Jesus said, and he said, let him who has ears to hear, let him hear. We want to hear this parable and say, wow, the good news of the kingdom is that there is a God who has seed, and he is giving this seed out, and it's the word of God, and you and I are the soil, and this can be planted in us. And the good news is that when we come and we surrender our field to be planted, and he plants in us, he grows it, and it is a miracle, and it is amazing what he's going to do, and we get to be part of what he's doing, and it really is the good news of the kingdom. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you have given us an opportunity to allow you to work in us. That when you talk about the laws of the harvest and you talk about sowing and reaping all throughout your word, Lord, that you're not just, you didn't just say some words, but you really showed us by creating the garden in the first place. You showed us this beauty of what happens when we plant seeds and they grow into something. And it's awesome, Father. We can by the things that grow, we can be in the shadow of trees that grow from a seed. We can eat the fruit of trees. We can eat all kinds of things, all that are growing. And Father, you've given us so much pleasure, so much beauty in this world because of the seed time and harvest. And so we're thankful for that, Lord. We thank you for that. But Lord, we want to come. And I just ask for myself, and I ask for all of us here, Lord. We want to come and present ourselves as gardens to you and ask that you would plant your seed. And we thank you for the seed that you've given us, the word of God. And we want to spend our days letting your seed be planted in our life. So Lord, I pray for each of us, and I just ask that you would stir in us this desire to plant the word of God into our lives. Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.